I used to be out for myself and alone. But that's not who I am anymore.
You're on a different path now.
And I have you guys.
We're family.
Fanboys and Friends presents... Lord Vader. Dispatch Inquisitors to hunt the rebels.
The Empire's looking everywhere for us.
We can't just run.
We're being pulled out of hyperspace.
It's a Star Destroyer!
No. That is something else.
Lock down the spaceport.
We can't beat that blockade. Not without a better ship.
The Red Blades. They took her. They knew.
The Inquisitors are after these kids because they're like you, Ezra.
This is one of my most advanced designs. And it packs a punch.
If only we had more allies. I know someone.
My name is Rex. Captain, 501st Clone Battalion. Me commanders Gregor and Wolf.
Red Fine. Ghost Transmissions.
Fighting alongside soldiers isn't what I signed up for.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
My parents! They're out there, and I've got to find them!
We're soldiers. This is what we were born to do.
There are questions. Questions that need answering.
You are a Jedi.
I'm not really a Jedi.
Then be a pirate Jedi.
Still a bounty hunter, I see.
Tell me you don't miss it.
Ezra, your parents, they escaped.
The Empire put a bounty on you.
You gonna try to collect?
What if you forget whose side you're on?
I would never be on their side.
I'm Clan Ren, House Vizsla. I seek justice through single combat.
How do we fight him?
Ezra, we were lucky to survive.
The apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives.
Skywalker's apprentice could lead us to other lost Jedi.
Your speculation and discussion of all things Star Wars Rebels.
Unexpected, but not unwelcome.
Join the rebellion. Stay rebellious, my friends.
All right, gang, and welcome to the latest episode of Red 5 Ghost Transmissions, your Fandom Awakens Radio Star Wars Rebels spin-off podcast show. I am your host, back aboard the Ghost, Davidson, and piloting, as always, and with me... Yeah, we're still trying to get everyone together. You know, schedule's not a podcaster's friend, but this guy's with me all the time. Your friend and mine in not-so-weather-cooperating Dagobah or Florida, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
Oh, doing pretty good. We survived Hurricane Clifton. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Hurricane Matthew.
Yeah, I was about to say, when I heard it was Hurricane Matthew... I'm like, what's that little Minock up to now?
Yeah, no, everything was good. Luckily, on our side of the state, we were pretty much spared from it. East Coast got hit pretty good, but luckily, the eye never hit the storm. And I just want to do a quick shout out to all of our listeners in Florida. Glad to hear that you're all safe, and I hope everybody's doing well and didn't have too much in property damage or anything like that. And glad you're listening. So thank you.
Yeah, I believe where it was the Mandeville end of Florida.
Yeah, that basically the whole East Coast got a pretty good swipe of it, but you know, it was obvious that somebody was piloting that hurricane like maybe a Wedge Antilles because he managed to keep that eye off the state, so he was doing good work.
Well, the hurricane certainly had a hobby. Oh, first pun of the podcast. It's not going away, folks.
But we definitely had an interesting episode this week to talk about.
A very Top Gun-y sort of Star Wars episode. I was expecting Kenny Loggins' music, really.
Break out the danger zone, baby. Break it out.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so Kyle, by all means, dear sir, take us through this episode beat by beat, then we will discuss openly, and then we will hear what the professionals say with Rebels Recon.
Well, I'm just going to tell all our listeners, hold on to your shorts, or by the end of this episode, you could end up with a wedgie.
Oh, okay. That's two. Let me get out my pun sheet. That's two.
So, David, this is one of the more interesting episodes of Rebels in a while as a standalone story, because this really was an episode that really started connecting us with episode 4 and the original trilogy, and we kick off this episode with a transport coming in, and of course being accompanied by A-Wings, which at this point are the red shirts of the Star Wars universe, A-Wing pilots.
Pretty much.
They're on a mission to get some food to a planet, and a Star Destroyer comes out of hyperspace and launches an attack and pretty much wipes them out.
You know what that reminded me of?
What's that?
Remember in the before Legends days, but remember the opening of the Empire Strikes Back radio drama?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it really reminded me of. As a matter of fact, when I would listen to that, I would pretty much see in my mind's eye what we pretty much got.
Yeah, no, but it was quite powerful scene, a lot of death, which, you know, just goes back to our thing, Rebels was not written for children, per se.
No, despite, you know, what season one may have confused a few people with.
Yeah. So we go back to Rebel headquarters at its current location, and we get kind of our first big reveal of this episode, and that is that Fulcrum is not just a name used for Ahsoka, but it's actually the name of basically a group of spies that was founded by Ahsoka. It was all Ahsoka's idea to establish Fulcrum. That's a pretty big revelation.
I'm not exactly... I'm willing to see how they handle that the rest of the season, okay? But as of right now, that feels a little less special than it did with just, you know, bringing Ahsoka back through that prism.
Well, I think they did a good job in honoring Ahsoka by claiming it was her idea. But I'm with you, David, as far as the aspect of there's a lot of really interesting things that could be done to develop out of this. And we could see some very interesting characters that we haven't seen yet, or we haven't seen for a while, be part of this Fulcrum Underground, per se. So
I like an underground railroad for Rebels.
Something like that, yeah.
That would be very GL, wouldn't it?
Very true. So, you know, basically we're dealing with a quandary of that the Rebels are definitely have a lack of pilots. Probably about half their pilots were probably wiped out in that one attack. But whoever this new Fulcrum agent is reveals that there's several cadets from basically the Empire's version of Top Gun. wanting to defect to the rebellion. So this leads to an interesting choice as they choose Sabine to go on this mission because of her time as a cadet in the Empire, and she's probably the least recognizable two members of the Empire. Obviously, Ezra at this point really kind of stands out.
Yeah, he can't go under the guise of Jabba anymore.
So they send Sabine, and I'm going to dive in, David, with this point, and, you know, everybody who's listened to the show knows your distaste at times for Sabine, but even you have to admit, this might have been the best Sabine has ever been written. This was a great story with her as a focal point.
I actually agreed to that. I know somewhere Matt Clifton is like, what? But, now Matt, before you go all hurricane on me, let me just say, this worked, but mainly because you did not have Sabine in that ridiculous armor.
Well, but even you said when we go back to the first episode of this season, They have changed the look of her armor some. It's gotten a little bit darker, a little less bubblegum pop, as you've put it before in the past. But the thing I've noticed, and it's something that we talked about also with Ezra, but also with Sabine, is that you're taking our two youngest characters, and you can definitely tell this season they're maturing them. They've definitely grown, and they're definitely putting out a more mature vibe, and I think especially for Sabine, it's a great turn for the character, considering what we know is coming this season with Sabine.
Oh, it is. It is. And I will just say, based on the trailer we saw and that Darksaber, Ezra and Sabine and Green Eyes, I'll just say those words.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I will go out on a limb and say Sabine dies.
I'm not ready to call death in this season just yet, but there's I will definitely say this. Sabine is in for some tough times this season, and I'm curious to see what direction, because it started in this episode, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but they start playing, there's even hints in this episode of playing up more on her Mandalorian roots, and so yeah, I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with Sabine this season. But you know, we get to the point where they get Sabine infiltrated into this Top Gun Jedi Academy. We see, or not just Top Gun Empire Pilot Academy, excuse me. It's late. It's late as we're recording, folks. My brain is a little off.
Yeah, it's all right. You went to have Godzilla stomp on it.
Well, you know, Tokyo Tower did not live again, but that's a whole other story.
Never does.
She infiltrates the school, and it's something Matt Clifton pointed out on the web, and I know a couple other people have made the comparison. The head pilot for this school, head training pilot, looks a lot, awful lot like a call sign Viper played by Tom Skerritt in Top Gun.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like that little reference to it, you know, kind of throwing out a little things. But the big thing here, too, is that we have Sabine meet a certain Wedge Antilles.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I know a lot of people that there's been some issues with Wedge, basically because of how Dennis Lawson has been with the character and everything like that. But I gotta say, I love the Rebels' take on Wedge, and you know, it's nice to see them separate the character from the actor.
It is. Well, it's easier to do that, I feel, when it's an animated version of them.
Oh, I will not argue that point at all, David. But I think what I'm
and I think, if I may expand on that just a little bit, Kyle, I feel that, you know, we'll probably see Wedge again.
Oh,
in the movies, but I feel that a nice way to create that separation after Dennis Lawson basically took a voodoo on everyone's head, is to have Wedge on the animated show for a while.
Oh, and I think Wedge going forward will be make several appearances during the remainder of this season.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than just Wedge. Obviously, we see Wedge in a training session with Sabine show some hints that he's the defector. Of course, obviously, as the Watchers, we know this. But so we get some nice moments between Wedge and Sabine, and then as it goes along, we're introduced to the other pilots who would like to defect, and we see some other old friends in this group, Mr. Senden.
Well, we see Hobby, and we see, it doesn't matter, because he ends up dead.
Yes. But, I mean, it's kind of cool to see Hobby. Now,
can I just say, were you expecting, before it came out, it was Hobby. I was kind of hoping one of them would be Porkins, and one of it have been hilarious if he was Porkins, but he was thin.
Yeah, that could have been a little funny moment, and they could still do something like that. I think I would not be surprised if we don't see some other familiar faces of those kind of secondary characters before Rebels is all said and done.
Possibly.
But what I of course during this time too, we also end up having Governor Price and everybody's favorite Sideburns man, Agent Callis, show up because they have become aware of the possible defectors within the Empire. So that adds,
or as I call her, Governor Spalko.
Yeah. So that adds an interesting mix to the situation. And Sabine does connect with Hobby and Wedge and the other pilot, and they set a plan. They contact Ezra, and in the middle of a training dogfight, they try to make their initial escape from the Empire. And you brought this up before, David, but a classic tribute to a classic Star Wars toy in this moment.
Oh, yes, I love this. When the TIE fighters, it looked like they were going to get away and head to the cruiser to meet up with Ezra and Blind Kanan. Governor Price hits a button where the TIEs are booby-trapped and the wings fall off.
Yeah, just like the old toy crash action.
Yes, yeah. I had that TIE fighter when I was younger, when I was in my teen years, and I was so happy to see that.
Yeah, no, I got, and as soon as that happened, I thought of the same thing, David. It was like, oh, that's just very cool, and what a classic tribute.
It took me back to remember when Clone Wars did that one arc that they really didn't need to, the stuff with Gregor, and you saw a lot of the vintage action figures thrown in there as Easter eggs.
Yeah, no, it's those little touches that Rebels and Clone Wars always had that make them such fun shows as well for Star Wars fans.
Oh, absolutely.
So, everybody is captured and brought back. Ezra and Kanan escape. What we have now is a great moment between Governor Price and Sabine. She's trying to interrogate Sabine. And Sabine, it leads to a confrontation between Governor Price and Sabine. And we start getting mention of Sabine and her Mandalorian history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good thing to bring up again stronger, because again, we've seen in previews that's going to play a bigger role this season in later episodes, and we have a nice knockdown drag out between two strong female characters at this point, and it was a pretty good little fight. They weren't pulling many punches.
I wouldn't call it two strong female characters. I'll give credit to this episode being one good episode in Sabine's corner. But that's just one.
Sabine is still Mandalorian. But I mean strong. I mean, you've got this highly ranking Empire official and, a trained Mandalorian cadet. So, you know, they have some skills, and that's what I mean by that. You're seeing those skills come to forefront. Yeah,
no, sorry, man. I thought you meant the other kind of strong.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say that about Sabine just yet.
But
I'm not buying the action figure anytime soon.
No, but if they keep doing what they're doing, you're growing at least a little bit. So we'll take that for now.
Well, if we get a version of her that looks like this and not, you know, some bubblegum factory Mando that even Boba would be embarrassed by.
But, you know, the interesting is, and she ends up rescuing Wedge and Hobby, and they go off to make their escape, and what's fun is they actually grab a TIE bomber to escape out of.
Yeah. Shall we mention, though, who helps them leave?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely wanted to bring this up because I think this was a great callback to one of the best episodes of last season. And Agent Callus. Yes,
the episode Enemy Mine.
Yep. Agent Callus is the one responsible for helping Sabine and Wedge and Hobby escape. And when Sabine asks him why, he just says, basically, tell Zeb we're even.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just think that was a great little moment. And we're not done with Callus yet. I don't know if Callus is going to defect.